It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. And happy Monday after Christmas to producer Steve. And I know what you got for Christmas is a brand new soundboard that you're getting to experiment with today, Steve.
You know, I'm laughing as the opening is starting and reaching for the headphones, which are normally in a certain place, and they're not. And I'm scrambling just to get a set of headphones. But yeah, a brand new board. All the boards here, our studios have been replaced in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and this is our first show on the new board.
Well, I'm excited about that. So I'm having a little technical difficulties here myself. So I'd like to say thank you to each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued. I hope that you had a very blessed Christmas. And today, take care of yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We've got a great show planned for you today. We will be talking with Jace McBride at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go through some headlines in this first and second segment. A lot has happened. Last week, because it was Christmas week and we were getting the new boards, the team, we worked really hard to go ahead and pre-record the shows for last week. And I heard from a number of you that you really enjoyed them. They really are kind of 30,000-foot views on some of these big ideas. And so we put that together last week, and it was really a great week, Steve.
It was. And I listened. I kind of altered my hours a little bit with you're not being here, but you're not supposed to know that. And I got a chance to listen from outside this room on the other side of the transmitter, let's say. And it just gave me a totally different perspective, even though I knew everything that was in there. It was very nice to listen from a different perspective.
Well, and I've been thinking a lot about last Tuesday's show with Dr. Alan Gelzo regarding the American mind and just what is unique about the American mind. And my heart has been heavy. It's troubled with where we are right now in our country. When Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic, if you can keep it," we are, I think, at a time where we are going to determine whether or not we are going to get to keep this constitutional republic. And I know the good Lord has his hand on each and every one of us, and he's had his hand on this country since our beginning. But my gosh, when we look at the, I guess I have to say, alleged voter fraud, but we can see it right in with our own eyes, although I guess you say alleged until it is proven in court. Is that correct, Steve?
This leaves me, again, with the feeling, you ever wondered when, if you're around a place where somebody is fishing and, they promptly, go ahead and clean the fish? I get the feeling now what a gutted fish feels like, because there is, the major media, their common defense is prove it. And when you bring in the proof, and right away they just discount it. And it's almost like I hate to say it's hopeless.
Well, I had on a little bit of Fox News last night, or I guess I was just kind of hearing it in the background because I was working on some projects, and I continued to hear them to refer to Joe Biden as president-elect. And it seems to me that any news source who is really serious about what they're doing, they should be trying to get to the bottom of this alleged voter fraud, and they should be reporting it. And instead, it's like patting the American people on the head and saying, nothing to see here, continue on, nothing to see here, continue on. And if that occurs, as I mentioned, I'm very concerned about our constitutional republic. I know that this Senate race, these two Senate races down in Georgia, are so important. However, people, elected representatives, need to have courage. They need to have guts to stand up for our constitutional rights. Government is put in place to protect the individual and their rights to their property. And in the third and fourth segment, we're going to be talking about this Colorado's five-star state certification program for bars, restaurants, taverns, and gyms. And actually, a couple county commissioners who I have great regard for have actually really been supporting this, and I'm really concerned about that, because this is not the proper role of government. We'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment. I did a podcast on that last week, and I've got an op-ed that I've written that I have a lot of finishing touches to put onto that. That's going to be rolled out in the email newsletter this week. I would encourage you to sign up for that. My friends, as we look at these issues, we have to look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And with the reaction and disruption to the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus, we have seen elected, I'd like to call them representatives. I'm now going to call, we have elected representatives, we have politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And we have very few elected representatives these days, Steve. We have a lot of politicians, we have a lot of bureaucrats, we have a lot of interested parties, PBIs, but we don't have a whole lot of elected representatives. But ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It should be able to stand the test in the battle of ideas. But socialism is really a bad idea, and that's why they have to use force, Steve.
Well, the kicker is here, a lot of people, and maybe we're seeing the dark side of mob rule, many people don't see this force because they're in agreement with it for now. They don't see what might be coming later, or even with this election mess. They're in agreement. They despise Trump so badly that they're in agreement with it. They don't see that you're creating a new model for elections that quite possibly be a disaster in the making.
Actually, I'm looking at it, and unless we get to the bottom of all of this election fraud and irregularities, it's like our votes don't really count anymore. But you know what, Steve? This didn't just happen overnight. This has been something that the Democrat Party has been hijacked now by radical activists, socialists, and communists. And it didn't just happen. But what they've been doing for, it's been a strategy for a long time. Why do you not think that we were using government dollars for nonprofits to bring in refugees from countries that many of these refugees came in and they lived off of public assistance, instead of bringing people in like in the old days, people that wanted to breathe free and that they wanted to go after their American dream, their American mind. So we started to erode everyday Americans' vote by bringing in people and never taught them about the American idea. We just brought them in and then did not assimilate these different refugees. You see what happened right now. That's one of the reasons that we have the squad, is because their communities never assimilated into the American idea. And so we saw this was one way that they came in and eroded Americans' votes. Then we see what has been happening with the Dominion voting software. And it's just been a constant thing, people coming across the border illegally. All of these things have been happening to erode the vote of everyday, hardworking American people, Steve.
I was half joking, half harassing our own Dan Muir, who, you know, I do a live show with every other week here locally. So I still have the opportunity to speak with him. And back on November 3rd, November 4th, I texted him. So he's from Minnesota. And I said, gee, Dan, what the heck's going on in Minnesota? It looks like Ilhan Omar got reelected again back to the House of Representatives. And he said, wait a minute. You've got to understand that her district is comprised of 70,000 Somalis. So, okay, I get it.
And please understand that many of these Somalis that came in that are voting for Ilhan Omar, that we used government dollars through funding through nonprofits to do refugee resettlement because we as Americans, we believe in helping people. And yet our own dollars were used then to bring in people that do not like the American idea and are putting people in place that are actively trying to discount the American idea and push through socialism and communism, Steve.
And now in a polite Christmas Day dinner conversation, my nephew and I, he's incredibly politically astute. He's a small businessman, and he's impacted by so much government regulation. But he's saying, use the term, a permanent majority is what they're after. And certainly we've heard of their schemes to make Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico the 51st and 52nd state so they can instill four more senators. You know how they're going to vote. Mm-hmm. Or the blatant admission that, yes, we're going to pack the court. I mean, they're just out there at every level doing what they can.
I cannot understand why the Supreme Court is not standing strong on this our constitutional republic, on this voter fraud. I can't quite understand that. We're going to go to break here in just a minute, but the piece that I'm working on regarding Colorado's five-star state certification program, I'm titling it the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never leave. And
if that ever goes to air, I'm going to play Hotel California in the background.
And with that, though, the way I'm ending this op-ed is it goes back to Pastor Martin Niemöller. And so you'll have to, I'm still working on it, so I'll have to make sure that I keep that in. But Martin Niemöller was standing against Hitler and the Nazis during World War II, which made me think for my quote for today. I went to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you ever read the book by Eric Metaxas, Bonhoeffer. But Bonhoeffer, during the 60s and 70s, the left was really trying to put their arms around him and claim him as a pacifist as they were doing their activisms against, I guess, with the 60s and 70s, against the Vietnam War and a variety of things like that. But actually, Bonhoeffer was part of the group that tried to take Hitler out. But he was a Lutheran pastor, a theologian, an anti-Nazi dissident, and key founding member of the Confessing Church, which was the church that was standing for the gospel versus Hitler. It actually had co-opted many of the church leaders. His writings on Christianity's role in the secular world have become widely influential, and his book, The Cost of Discipleship, has been described as a modern classic. He was born in 1906 in an area that is now Poland, and he died in 1945 in a concentration camp. Hitler knew that Hitler was going to lose the war, but he hated Bonhoeffer so much that he searched the concentration camps to execute him. I think it was maybe 3 weeks before the Allies actually won the war. But this is what he said. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, "The great masquerade of evil has played havoc with all our ethical concepts. For evil to appear disguised as light, charity, historical necessity, or social justice is quite bewildering to anyone brought up on our traditional ethical concepts. While for the Christian who bases his life on the Bible, it merely confirms the fundamental wickedness of evil." Steve, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I'm just thinking the actual date of his making that statement, verbally or writing it down, he witnessed the 1930s Germany and saw mm-hmm. what was going down in the different groups as Hitler was making his move and getting more and more power until the ultimate, in 39 when he invaded Poland. That, you know, he had achieved all his goals. And I'm thinking, I translate that to what's here and now, and some of these groups that have made themselves known in the last, especially the last 12 months or so, if left unchecked, where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm. And Hitler was voted in, just to make that point as well. And Bonhoeffer, one other thing that was really interesting about him is many knew that his life would be at risk. And he actually went to the United States, I think, sometime in the 30s, late 30s. And he realized, or maybe it was the early 40s, but anyway, he realized that he could not wait it out there when he saw what was happening to those under Nazi occupation. And he went back, and then at the age of, I think he was 39, he was executed. So that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I know this is really serious stuff for all of you, but we're in serious times right now. But before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are one of my great partners, and they're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business, so certainly one that you want to make sure that you patronize. They have all kinds of knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. They also have these really cool watches. And so would recommend that you take a trip out to Sedalia, Colorado and visit Castlegate Knife and Tool. That website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with more headlines. And then in the third and fourth segment, we're going to be talking about the Hotel California, Colorado's five-star state certification program for our restaurants, bars, gyms, and the like. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts, and so would recommend that you do that, and of course, all of our guests as well. We'll have a couple of really good, or we're going to have two great op-eds and a great podcast this coming week, so you want to be first to sign up for that. Couple of things. Patty, I asked her to take a look at the hypocrisy of some of these draconian Democrats that are shutting down our small businesses, our mid-sized businesses, and whether or not they were really adhering to their rules. And the Heritage Foundation apparently is keeping a running tab on this. And what do we have here? Steve, 7 pages. Can't go through all of them regarding these different governors and judges and lawmakers. And why do we call them lawmakers? They're supposed to be elected representatives. Again, we've given up on the battle of language here. But do you have any favorites on that, Steve? Because one of mine, of course, is Mayor Michael Hancock, November 25th. He travels out of state to Mississippi for holiday despite telling citizens not to travel. And my friends, the emperor has no clothes. If in fact this virus was as deadly as they make everybody think it is, then he for sure wouldn't be putting his rear end on a plane going down to visit family in Mississippi, Steve.
I, with great relish, if that's the right word, looking at this list, it starts, back on March 16th of earlier this year. And one of my favorites, de Blasio, was the first entry. But, yes, look at all those entries there. I'm kind of looking for my home state, Pennsylvania, because I know Tom Wolf certainly has done many things that are worthy of being on this list.
Yes. And just a couple other ones. One of my favorites is, Mayor Steve Adler of Austin, Texas. He tells citizens to stay home while he's on vacation in Cabo. My friends, the hypocrisy of this should be of great concern to you. Wanted to jump over one other thing. Yesterday, President Trump signed this $2.3 trillion, they call it the relief spending package. And if you've been watching the headlines, President Trump said, listen, $600 for everyday Americans is not enough. If we're going to do this, we need to get $2,000 to each American. Now, actually, what I would recommend is that we open our businesses back up. People don't want handouts. People would like to actually get back to work and take care of their families. But if you think about this, Steve, this was 5,000 pages long. There is no way that these elected representatives, these politicians, had enough time to read that. It is irresponsible. Whether or not you are a city council person, a county commissioner, a state representative, or in Congress, if you can't read it before you pass it, then it should not be passed. That's just a really good rule of thumb, Steve.
Well, you said if you've been you started that with if you've been looking at the headlines, and I'm not even sure that's what the headlines were saying. All they were saying at the time is Trump is hesitant hesitating to sign the relief bill and denying people their $600. And that was only they weren't telling the rest of the story, what he was really after.
Right. And so let's go through this. This is from Rand Paul's his Festivus Report 2020. And this is just money that was spent by our government on things. Instead of getting out of the way and letting everyday hardworking Americans go after their hopes and dreams, they take money from us. And under health care, they spent almost $37 million to do a test on why stress makes hair turn gray. They funded $31.5 million on a fake study linking e-cigarettes to heart attacks. They gave federal employees duplicative Medicare customer service access to the tune of $217 million. On foreign aid, and there's a whole bunch of foreign aid stuff in this this bill that was just passed. There was $25 million for salaries for the Kennedy Center. My friends, this is pork. I think in one of the pieces it said here, you needed a wagon to get this thing through the halls of Congress. There was so much pork in it, Steve.
Well, let's see. There was two things, the Kennedy Center and something else. And that's the second time the Kennedy Center has benefited. I guess they were in the first relief package. And I'm thinking, who in the world keeps dragging the Kennedy Center into this, which has nothing to do with virus, a true relief package.
Right. And here's a few things here. They have $10 million. Now, I was just talking about spending over here that Rand Paul normally comes out with every year. In the COVID bill, there's $10 million for gender programs and $15 million for democracy programs in Pakistan. $4 billion for vaccination programs in other countries. $1 billion for Amtrak. They call that a reliable money loser, or more, a gift to railroad worker unions and rail equipment contractors. $1 billion for two Smithsonian museums, the National Museum of the American Latino and the American Women's History Museum. 64 pages are devoted to horse racing integrity and safety. And then it has some other things in there. There is a section devoted to democracy in the Tibetan exile community, which outlines the Dalai Lama's preferred system of governance for the Tibetan people, and it delegates over $7 million to two pro-Tibet radio stations and sets out guidance for the Dalai Lama's reincarnation. You know, Steve, that just reminds me. Here, we believe in free markets. And one of the things that we do with this show is we go out and we find our partners and to keep us on the air. NPR, they get government money. That is never how it is supposed to be in America. But here we have $7 million to two Tibetan radio stations. Now that hits me really close to home, Steve.
They, you got to give them high marks for their creativity. How do they find this stuff?
I don't know. $700 million to Sudan, $500 million to Jordanian defense spending, $453 million to Ukraine, $74.8 million for the Caribbean Basin Security Initiative, $33 million for programs supporting democracy in Venezuela. How's that working out? And then, actually, then the way that they, that this, and I think this was in, let me see here which piece this was in. But anyway, there is also, instead of just journalism, there are words in there that really continue to go after President Trump. And he's trying to stand, he was trying to stop this. And boy, the way this was being portrayed in the media, and American people are thinking, oh, Donald Trump doesn't care about us. But then you look at all of this money that is going to other countries, and just think, I mean, people are getting rich off of this while our people are struggling, Steve.
Well, I've seen these lists before of these wacko things that have gotten into this. How is my question, but what is the mindset of these people who are pumping these types of items into these bills? It is a virus relief package. What do any of these things have to do with virus relief? And therefore, the middle class, the working class people impacted the most come away with nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Let's jump over here. I was just looking at some other things here. Again, 5,000 pages. When I asked Patty to take a look at it, at that time I didn't realize it was 5,000 pages, but she's done a really good job on her research here. Jace McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
I did. I hope you did as well.
I did. I had a really, really nice Christmas. And now we're back in the saddle here. Jason, I didn't pay any attention to the markets or really what was going on. So what's your latest update?
Well, the markets have been actually fairly quiet, Kim. If you go all the way back to the beginning of December, I mean, for the most part, they've just been sideways. And that goes for the S&P. That goes for the Dow, which has been going sideways for even longer than that. Now the small caps, which had been lagging for quite a while, actually have kind of taken the lead, and those made some forward progress over the last couple of weeks, but not a whole heck of a lot. So I think this market, has kind of taken a little bit of a wait-and-see approach on the stimulus. I think for the most part, the vaccine news is now out. I mean, that wave is kind of broken, I guess, for the most part, unless something happens where people are rejecting it or getting sick. I don't think you get too much more market play out of vaccine news. And to me, it looks like a market that's trying to figure out what happens next. It's not sure about the presidency, about taxes, about regulations. We're sitting with prices at very, very high levels. And, our government, like you guys have been discussing, is busy sending taxpayer money overseas to all kinds of other countries while leaving our citizens with nothing but a pittance while their businesses are still closed.
Right, while they're closing down businesses. You mentioned the smaller caps have finally started to make a move. I've been concerned about the smaller caps because I guess I've thought that was more like small business, mid-sized businesses, but I guess they're probably bigger businesses. But man, it's been really rough for our small to mid-sized businesses, Jason.
Well, certainly for the ones that have been shut down due to coronavirus, which a lot of those are not publicly traded, Kim. But, I think with the small caps, they've kind of been lagging for such a long time. You've had some good quality earnings there. But everybody's been paying attention to the Facebooks and Twitters and Apples and Amazons and Netflix. Well, now you're seeing a little bit of money come out of those. And then, the market caps on those have gotten so big, Kim, that even a small amount of money that comes out of there and goes to the small caps is enough to have a great effect on the price. So I think part of it is just rotation.
Okay, and one other thing before we go to break, Jason, I actually was up very early thinking about all the things that we're going to be talking about and also the strategy that you'd been mentioning regarding a Roth IRA. If, in fact, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris become president, vice president, we are assured that taxes and fees and all kinds of things are going to go up. I mean, they say it, and I think a lot of people don't believe it. But this is an opportunity between what now and Friday to take money out of an IRA and put it into a Roth, get the taxes paid at a lower rate, because it just seems to me to make some sense to take a portion of your funds to maybe do that. I know we're not really giving investment advice on the air, but it seems like that could make a lot of sense, Jason. I'd recommend people check that out with you.
Well, and you want to see how much it, you know, the taxes would cost to do it. Now we may get lucky, and if we hold the Senate, it would be very difficult for them to actually raise taxes unless we get defectors. But you're right, Kim. You know, the Roth is still probably going to be a very good investment opportunity and a way to control your taxes going forward. But we may be possibly seeing the end of some of the lowest tax rate we've ever seen after the next few days. You're absolutely right. We just don't know.
So I'd recommend you can run a scenario for people. They can give you a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Knowledge is power. Run the scenarios, and then you can make the decision. But I would highly recommend that you give Jason a call and check that out. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Kim. Have a great show.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, I decided that I would be my guest today, and researcher Patty Kurgan is going to join me regarding Colorado's five-star state certification program for restaurants, bars, and our gyms. As I really looked at this, I'm very concerned. I'm calling it Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never check out. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. We're going to have some good ones coming out this week. And on the line with me is our researcher. She's also an author. She's a contributing author to Unmasked 2020, Colorado's Radical Left Turn, and A Warning to America. Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Well, first of all, I hope you had a Merry Christmas.
I did, thank you, and I hope all the listeners did as well.
Yes, me, most definitely. What I didn't want for Christmas was a big lump of coal, and actually they're trying to masquerade this as a real gift. In fact, I saw one of the TV stations was playing Christmas music and saying that our restaurants in Douglas County had actually gotten a big Christmas present. But as I really look at it, it looks like a big lump of coal to me. I'm calling it the Hotel California. That's the five-star state certification program. You can check in, but you can't check out. Patty, I appreciate your research on this. You and I have talked a bit about this. And freedom is something that we elect our representatives to protect. And I know that there are very well-meaning elected representatives that have signed on to this program because they know that our restaurants and our bars and our taverns and our gyms, they are all just desperate In fact, Patty, I talked recently to a small business owner who had tears in his eyes, and he said, I am running out of options. I am smart. I've had my business for 18 years. But now I'm continuing with my comments on it. But the government has forced him to stop his business. And he is so frustrated. And so government is making people desperate. And then we have elected representatives that are stepping forward to try to help. But it doesn't seem to me like they're looking at the long-range consequences to this, Patty.
No, this is something very short-term.
Short-term thinking. There's no sunset on it.
Right. Except by the left, who are thinking long-term, because this program brings in so much more government control and power, and it's going to bring in a whole new bureaucracy, which will then have an expense attached to it, which will then eventually make all these small companies pay a fee, and then it will limit competition for some of these restaurants, because not everybody's going to be able to afford it. So instead of having true free market competition out there, the government has intervened, and they will be helping the winners win, and then those that they don't like will be the losers.
Well, and what happens when you have government step in? So this is going to be a new government program, and it says that it cannot be funded by taking any money away from already existing programs such as contact tracing and vaccination programs, things like that. So the first question is how will this be paid for? Well, what we've seen, Patty, is that that fees are instituted. For example, I talked to a small business owner who had gotten their bill for Tri-County Health. And she said, why? It's so ironic that I now have to pay this fee to this institution that wants to come in and shut me down. And so what they say initially in this five-star state certification program, that it is totally voluntary. But then I went through it and I looked at all of the different words in there. Voluntary is used once. But once you get into the program, the words required, orders, restriction, adhering, compliance, enforcement, warnings, revoked, is probably referred to anywhere from 15 to 20 times. And when we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if something is a good idea, you would not have to use the words restrictions, compliance, enforcement, warnings, things like that, Patty.
Absolutely. When I was reading it the first time, that was exactly what came out to me. Oh, yeah, this is voluntary. Ha, ha. Now, these are all the things that you must do. And a lot of them are very detrimental to the business itself. One of the things that shows up in the different categories, whether you're a gym or a restaurant, is ventilation. And a lot of the businesses will be looking at putting in a new ventilation system, which will cost upwards to $20,000. As we know, restaurants have a very small margin. I've talking to different restaurants owners, some of them have, it's really 1-2%. They're really not making much. So where does this $20,000 come from? Plus, like you say, you know, they have to pay for Tri-County Health, and there will be a fee attached to this. We all know that. In fact, John Southers, right before Christmas, came out and said that he cannot institute this program as it is because he believes it will cost the county $500,000, and he doesn't know where he's going to come up with that money. And going back to fees, we know that that's what they're eventually going to do. And I think they're going to put the fees at the city level versus just the county level, partly due to the ballot initiative that was passed this past election cycle, where it limited how much money a fee can generate through Tabor. And the other thing is up in Glenwood Springs, they put out a warning because I guess Garfield has or will be doing the five-star certification program. And Glenwood Springs said, hey, wait a minute, just so you know, we're sticking with the stricter standards that have been out there all along. So don't think that the county's going to rule us. We're having our own standard. So, you know, and no one's brought that up. Although it's being implemented through the county, the city can still come in and say, nope, we're going to even make it harder for you. So this is not the answer. And it's like short term, people go, oh, great, I can open. But what you're giving up in the long term is surmountable. Plus, you're putting your patrons at risk because there's here at the restaurants, they actually have to take your temperature. They have to record your name, your phone number, your email, even the table that you sit at. And what brings to my mind is, okay, now they have a database. And then fast forward, we all know that China has a social number.
Mm-hmm.
So if all this data is being collected by the government, are we going to, at some point in time, be assigned a social number, which will, maybe affect our credit reports, or it might be tied to our driver's license? Who knows? It's just so much data that the government will be collecting, and they know where we are and what we're doing.
Well, and what is so interesting about this whole program also is that, as you mentioned, Patty, it's instituted at the county level. It's voluntary if a county wants to decide to go to work on putting together their plan for the five-star state certification program. And it will be administered by a committee, not elected representatives, but by a bureaucracy. These people are unaccountable to the people. And it was interesting. I have so many different papers on this as I was doing the research on it that they had. I found it here. Okay, this was from Douglas County. It says that the application was submitted to the state in collaboration with the support of Tri-County Health Department, the hospitals. It says business community leaders, law enforcement municipalities, Castle Rock Chamber, the City of Castle Pines, Castle Rock Economic Development Council, City of Lone Tree, Douglas County Libraries. I thought that was weird. Why does the libraries need to be part of this whole thing? But I didn't see very many business owners on this, but I sure saw a whole lot of politicians and bureaucrats that are having to sign off on this. Why can't we just get our businesses open? Which, going back to the list that you had provided from the Heritage Foundation of all of these different and politicians and bureaucrats that are putting in strict lockdowns on our businesses and on our individuals, but they're not adhering to it. And again, if this virus was so deadly, and we do know, we all know people that have contracted it, and it's been a pretty bad, you know, not pretty bad for them. But yet, another piece that you have pulled out is that basically it has a 99.9% survival rate of people that contracted it. So how is it that we are using that to put in these draconian rules? And well-meaning elected representatives are giving our freedoms away by doing this. And businesses are so desperate just to get their businesses opened up that they can't see that the heavy hammer is right behind them, Patty.
Well, and one of the other facts that's out there is that there's been no outbreak from a restaurant that I know of through all the research that I'm doing. And there's a case down in San Diego right now that's going on where the restaurant sued the city, and the judge ruled that there is no data that shows that these restaurants need to be closed. So I'm going to be following that closely to see where that ends up. But you're right. It's just all it is the government sees the opportunity to grow, and that's what they're going to do. And they're going to build their power. They're going to build their control over us. What's really interesting, too, is if you read this, the restaurant owners or the gym or the business that does get certified, they have to put up for public view where all the patrons can see if something's not right, this is the number that you call and you file your complaint. So if a complaint's filed, if I own a restaurant and a complaint's filed against me, I'll never be able to face my accuser.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then also, so the government now, it can give some power to certain people who can go in. No one's going to know that I reported you, and I can report you, right? So then you get one citation. They'll go in, they'll see whether or not it's true. But if they get enough reports on a restaurant, I'm sure something will break and they'll issue a citation. You only get one, and then you're out of the program.
Right.
I see that as the power of the accuser goes to the nth degree, and they can actually, as we know with social media, right, people put things up. They don't even think twice about it. This makes me think like, okay, accusers can falsely accuse me of something that's not true. One citation, okay, second time I get complaint, I'm out. So this is a way to get rid of competition.
Oh.
Under the table kind of way.
Ah.
Where, you know, hey, I really like Joe, but I don't like Susie over there, so I'm going to go in, I'll make a complaint, I'll find a friend to go in and make a complaint. Now you've gotten rid of Susie, and Joe will get more business.
Oh, people wouldn't do that, Patty. Ah. Oh. Are you kidding? Ha ha. Hey, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with researcher Patty Kurgan. We are going through this five-star state certification program here in Colorado for bars, restaurants, gyms, taverns. And I'm calling it Hotel California. You check in, you can't check out. We'll be right back. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants right here in Colorado. They have five locations. And go to HootersColorado.com for more information. I know that they have actually converted some of their patios they're nice and warm and toasty and a great place to get together with friends and family. We're trying to navigate all of these draconian rules out there. So go to HootersColorado.com for more information. We'll be right back with Patty Kurgan.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And I greatly appreciate you joining us. Patty, producer Steve said he had a comment he wanted to make, something that you said triggered him.
Ha. Well, I can't remember the actual tidbit that she said at the time, but my mind immediately sprung to the classic German legend Faust, who made a pact with the devil, exchanging his soul for unlimited knowledge and worldly pleasures. But since that time, through the ages, Faust and the adjective Faustian imply a situation in which an ambitious person surrenders moral integrity in order to achieve something else. And, you know, something that Patty had said is like, this really isn't a good deal for them. And do they really understand this?
Well, I don't think that they really understand it. And that's one thing, Patty, that we've done with our voter's guide is we've actually gone and read the real question. And I think that's why people continue to trust us more and more regarding our voter's guide. They may not totally agree with us, but they know that we've actually read what it actually says and will give our opinion on it. And that's what you and I have done with this five-star state certification program. It's 10 pages long. And we understand exactly what's in it. And then the other thing, Patty, we haven't talked about is as you look at it, there's all these little links to different things. So business-specific plans for outbreak detection, reporting, and response. Find more information on what should be included in outbreak plans. Sufficient quality ventilation. View CDPHE's ventilation guidance. It's like, don't you think businesses want to take care of their clients? and they will do everything they can to make sure that they are providing a clean environment for them. People then should have the choice on whether or not they want to go to a specific place, depending on what they're doing, instead of all of this draconian things that people need to jump through. And Patty, you mentioned you get one warning and you're out. But as I am looking at all of the different things that a business would have to adhere to, there is no way that any business will be able to adhere to all of this. And so they get one warning, and you mentioned somebody might come in and report them. And that's the other thing is the business has to have it a big sign of how people can report to CDPHE on them. But yet you mentioned, and it's constitutional, that somebody that is accused of something should be able to face their accuser, but not under this five-star certification program, Patty.
I know, and I find that really disturbing. As you know, I'm in the small business community, and all they want to do is open up. They don't want any handouts. They don't want the PPP. They don't want the checks coming from the government. They want to be open, and they want to employ people. Right, the night before POLIS closed all the restaurants back in November, I was actually doing some subcontracting work with restaurants. And I talked that night probably about to five or six of them. And the owners, there were two that were in tears. They just didn't know what they were going to do. They said that we've done everything that's been asked of them, and they still got closed. And the question was, okay, so what's going to be the next standards for us to be open? I don't know what more I can do to be open. And one gentleman was very emotional, and he said, I have over 70 employees that work for me at this restaurant. People probably don't realize that's such a high, you know, that's a high number, but that's how many I have. And I feed these families. I provide shelter for these families. And he's like, I just want to be open so that they can live their lives and not feel the pressure that, oh my gosh, are we going to be able to pay our rent or our mortgage or feed our kids or get them to school, whatever it is. And it truly is a trickle-down effect. People are just looking at the employer, but a lot of small businesses, they truly are families. I know when we had our family business, we were all in it together through the good years and the bad years, and we shared whatever, you know, we had left over at the end of the day. And that's what these businesses do. They're not multimillionaires. The owners aren't stuffing their back pockets. They truly care about their employees, and they want them to have a good life. And as the government comes in and shuts them down, they're like, what did we do wrong? There's a video out there on Twitter where the gentleman has a restaurant, and two inspectors come in and they hand him a citation. And he got really emotional. He's like, I don't even know. As far as I know, I've done everything I've been asked to do. How can you come in here and tell me what is it that I didn't do wrong? And these inspectors really couldn't tell him what he did wrong. They're just like, well, we just have this citation that we have to hand to you, and you're being fined. And you know, it's unbelievable what the government is doing, and they're really pushing a lot of people into dark places. We know suicide's gone up, contemplation of suicide has gone up, mental health is a big factor. Many people are experiencing depression. I've talked to a lot of people who said, you know what, I've never really drank that much in my life. I might go and meet some friends for a drink. Well, now that I'm home by myself, or it's just two of us at home, we're drinking every night. It's unbelievable.
Well, what is happening is really of great concern. And I mentioned to Steve that I woke up very early this morning. I was thinking about the country that we are leaving to our next generation. And America has a great history, Patty, of what we pass on to the next generation. You look at the colonists, the Continental Army, George Washington, the founders. They put everything on the line to pass on freedom, liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom to the next generation. And throughout our history, the Civil War, much bloodshed to determine whether or not men would live freely or as slaves. I've interviewed so many World War II veterans, probably 140, 150. our veterans, Korea and Vietnam and all of our different wars and conflicts. We have been willing to put our lives on the line to pass on something good to the next generation. And currently, what we're looking at passing on with this big COVID relief bill, if you will, that has all kinds of money going to other entities other than the American people. And as you mentioned, people don't want a handout. They would like their businesses to be open. I contemplate, what is it that we're passing on to the next generation? At this point, a lot less freedom and a big IOU. And that is unvirtuous and it's immoral. Patty, we've got a minute left. What would you like to say to our listeners to button this up today?
You know what? Go into your local businesses, spend your dollar there, and encourage them not to become a part of this five-star certification program. Because as good as it may sound, and it's very enticing, in a year, it might put you out of business quicker than you would be if you just try to hang in there. And I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not there in the day-to-day operations, but we as patrons have to go to these businesses and let them know that they have our support. And maybe give them a couple bucks, you know, out of your back pocket. I know it's tight for a lot of people, that every little bit will help these small business owners.
Okay, Patty Kurgan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.